It's another episode. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited right now. We're talking about episode 2 of the brand new podcast. GB, I don't know if they're ready. You know what I'm saying? But we're here. Episode 2, Unselfish Behavior. We got the one and only, you know what I'm saying, Nico in the building. Nico, welcome. Welcome. No edits needed. No edits needed.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
But I'm super, super excited to have you. When I came up with the idea with my brother BV to start this podcast, I initially wanted to, not initially, but the goal is to get people on the show that are like really influencers on a big level in LA. But not even so much on a big level, but just on an active level. I think people get the idea of being busy with productive fucked up, and they start thinking that, you know what I'm saying, just because they doing a lot, they productive, and that's not the case. Like, so I wanted to have people on that actually have a mission, that actually have a purpose in what it is that they're doing, and an underlying message between, you know what I'm saying, they move. Yeah. So talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, what you stand for, where you from, all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Yeah. Well, you know, guide me through, because sometimes I could ramble, but my real name is Nicole. Like, that's my government name, but I ended up going by Nico, and apparently that's what I was supposed to be named to. Like, my mom, like, considered naming me Nico, and she told me that, and I was like, why didn't you do that? Because Nicole was born. Like, Nico, it sounds more like me, like Nicole, that's whack. But anyways, I am a UC Santa Barbara graduate, first generational college graduate. I got my communications major. I consider myself an entertainer with a purpose. And I'm mainly known in LA as a host. Like, I was known mainly for that initially before I started my campaign and everything. But aside from that, like, I did acting, I was producing, like, I have my hands in a lot of things with entertainment. But right now, what I've been focusing on is my brand that I started. And at first I started like by collaborating with a lot of different platforms and brands too as well, just to grow my exposure. But I'm at a point where it's like, okay, I need to stand on my own too with this now. Like, I have to find something to really like show people what I'm really about, because it was probably like a little confusing, because I was just always on the scene and people probably didn't really know exactly like what I did. They just knew I was on the scene.
She's just out here.
As you were saying, like, you know, I was just doing stuff. But now I'm like, okay, I gotta make it make sense and get more clear, and then, like, you know, go after the real mission, what it's always been for me. Like, cause, you know, I have a humble background. You know, we all have our stories. And for me, it was just like these struggles and everything will just be my motivation, like, to fuel my creativity, to fuel my passion, you know, and to find what it is that, like, I want to do in this world. Because entertaining, like, just simply entertaining was never enough for me. It's like, what about it? Like, what can people take away from it? Like, I'm all about people benefiting from something. How can I help? You know, but I knew I was an entertainer, that like I just can't stay away from that. Like, so I'm like, okay, sticking with entertainment, but figuring out how to fuse in, you know, impactful, like, you know, an impactful way to do it too as well. Purpose and intentionally. And so, like, when I was in college, nobody in my family went to college. I didn't know really nothing about it. But my mom, she was the type that was so proactive with my education. She would research, you know, any resources or, you know, anything that was available and out there. Although it kind of seems like, you know, we don't have like the resources in our communities, our inner city communities like But my mom was like sourcing it out. And so she always stayed on me about, you know, education. And I honestly didn't have plans of going to college. I was just like, I'm gonna be a star. Like, you know, put me on the camera, you feel me? Like, give me an agent.
Right.
And it is what it is. And she was like, no, you know, like, acting and all that stuff is not a guarantee. Like, you know, you need something to fall back on. You know, just being that typical mom. Right. Like, she wants stability in my life. So I was like, I kind of low-key ended up going to college for her, like, for my parents. Like, okay, I'm just, they want me to go to college, let me do it. And I excelled in grade school, too. So why not, like, you know, use that, those good grades and all that work I put in anyways for something, you know? So I ended up at college, and I thought I was going to go for business. I ended up doing communications, and then I ended up taking like courses, like sociology courses, black studies courses, and then I was also just exposed to different conversations, like different people that was like on different stuff than I was, like, and kind of opened my mind a lot to like the bigger picture of things, like you know, like I really was like thinking surface level with some stuff. But when I got to college, I actually was really learning outside of the classroom as well as as inside, and just growing. And then that's kind of like how with what I'm doing today, it's like I kind of got like inspired in college. Like my life, like my whole life is behind this. Like it inspired this, but like in college is when it clicked, where it's like, I get it now. Like, you know, like it's bigger things, like, you know, that matter out there. Like, get at that. Like, stop focusing just on an image and like a reputation and like, right, you know, what I could do.
Status.
Status. Yeah. Like, you know, like I was worried about the wrong things. I'm like, you know, what can I leave behind? You feel me? Like,
so you big on purpose.
Yeah, I'm big on purpose.
What I'm hearing you say a lot when I hear you talk is, if you're doing something, it needs to be a purpose behind it. Yeah, otherwise, like, it's just kind of like, where are we going with this? You're just doing it. I'm huge on that myself, too. When I first started, when I first came into the community, I came in, obviously, as a poet. Mm-hmm. And for me, immediately, like, I just remember the first spot that I performed at was DPL. I'm not sure if you ever heard of the Poetry Lounge. Never heard of the Poetry Lounge? You heard of the Poetry Lounge.
It do sound familiar, I'm gonna be honest, but it's not like where I'm like, oh, DPL
is the biggest, shout out to DPL. They are the biggest weekly open mic in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I mean, like, that line is wrapped around the block.
Got you.
By 5 o'clock, and they doors don't open till 9. You know what I'm saying? So right when I came into the event, right when I came into the community, I knew exactly where I wanted to perform. And so I hit that stage, and I remember feeling on stage, and this is the first time I've ever performed poetry on stage, right? And so I performed, and the reception that I got back was like, yo, that was fire. But in my mind, I'm like, yo, this was just some basic shit that I wrote a couple days ago. You know what I'm saying? But so I started performing, and then I immediately went into the mindset of, I just went into business mode. I'm like, how is it that they have this line so big and all you literally doing is coming in here snapping and they saying next? No disrespect, but like that's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, ain't no drinks in here, ain't no dancing, ain't no music, ain't no, right? And so I got into this idea of like, I want to create something for people that have that's never been done in this light, in this arena. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm touching on this to just kind of piggyback on the idea of doing things with a purpose, right? And you talked about college as well, and that stood out to me when I was hearing you speak, because for me, I never really had any academic expectations in my family in regards to schooling, right? My mom was born and raised in Slidell, Louisiana.
Okay.
And I don't think my mom got past the 9th or 10th grade. She had a child at 15 years old, and I think she dropped out of school. So that's probably around 10th grade.
Yeah.
My dad never finished high school either.
Okay.
So we grew up with 5 siblings. We never had expectations in terms of schooling, right? Not to say that our parents didn't care, because they did.
Yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't like, we never heard about going to college. We never heard about nothing. And to be honest with you, Nico, my mom instilled an entrepreneurial spirit in me since elementary school. I remember her like giving your boy, you know what I'm saying, giving your boy suckers from Smart and Final on Pico and Western. She'd drive us over there in elementary school, Nico. I'm talking elementary, dog.
You're
like,
getting it early.
What? And she's like, yo, I'm not giving y'all lunch money. Y'all got to go make y'all own lunch money at school. And we'd have to sell 25 cent suckers at school. And that instilled,
I rock with that.
Right? Ain't that crazy?
I like that.
I'm talking about elementary school, middle school, and by high school, I was making $80 to $90 a day. I wasn't coming to school with no books in high school at all. I would just come to work.
You know what I'm saying? Right,
like, these are customers everywhere. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm selling Bowlies. I'm selling hot Cheetos. I'm selling anything I could possibly. What? Come on now.
I did that middle school. I had that little face too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Just getting to it.
I remember that.
And it's like, yo, she instilled that spirit in me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just make your own. Like, how do you view this idea now? And I feel like it's trendy right now to be an entrepreneur, especially like in LA, I feel, just because LA is so surface. I call it the real life Instagram. I call LA the real life Instagram. Like, people walk around with filters on, acting like they really like got it like that, and they really don't. So for me,
living your truth,
right? You feel what I'm saying? So for me, I'm like, what is your view on entrepreneurship, being a young black business owner with a mission, though? Like, what is your view on just everything that you're experiencing? Do you see it as a trend, or do you see it as like a revolutionary movement that's kind of gonna shift the ideas and minds of like black youth coming up looking at us, because we still young. Like, you 25, I'm 28.
Yeah,
middle school, high school kids looking at us like, yo, they was just in school a few years ago.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they moving, they got missions, they got logos, they, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't have this when we was growing up. We didn't have nobody like this in our neighborhood that was touchable and tangible. Like, and so we here. So like, what's your view on it? You know what I'm saying?
I feel like there's a trendiness to it, but I feel like that just stems to the people that just want to fit in or just trying to keep up, but not really like they lost. They're lost, and they're just going off of like what they're seeing is being done. And it's like thinking that they need to do it rather than tapping in and figuring out what is it that they, you know, want to do, what fills them up, what gets them going. You feel me? So it's right now, it's just like, it's some trendiness in that, but at the same time, I do believe we are in a trend, you know, a shift, because back then, yeah, you know, it was all about go to school, get a job, and so forth, and you know, live, get retirement, you feel me, white picket fence, have a family, that whole thing. But you know, we're in a day and age where we have technology. So we grew up kind of like in that shift, in the middle of that shift, you feel me? So it's like, now that we have this technology and like everything is at our fingertips, you could just simply look something up, and you have these platforms to where you don't need like representation, or you don't need like somebody over you to do your business for you, to put it out there, get that money. Like, you can literally do it yourself. Like, we're in that time. So it's like, now, you know, you got these young people like us realizing the real power in being self-sufficient and independent. And then that's even being promoted more by people who was caught up before kind of getting this this heads up, where they got scammed from, you know, going the route of like, I'm gonna just put it on in like with artists, right?
Yeah, go for
they
it.
go to route of, oh, I need to like have a deal, like I need a label
behind me.
I need a label behind me to, you know, get my exposure,
distribution, all of that.
You feel me? And then they got those experiences with the bad contracts, and then they realized they were like, you know, essentially slaves.
Right.
And then living on into this time, being able to give the game back and be able to encourage, like, no, go independent, because we know now, like, you could do this on your
and
own.
You can own all your shit.
You can own all your stuff, and they pushing that ownership, which is really good. So it's like, I see that there is a organic shift in that sense. And I think it's important too, like, when, like, I think it's so dope that your mom instilled in you like entrepreneurship so early. Like, aside from, you know, the whole academic part wasn't something very like pressed on you, but it's like, you like entrepreneurs, kind of like that's what you needed anyway.
Absolutely, right.
Because it's like, education is definitely key.
Absolutely.
And even with my campaign, like, it's not just about going to school, it's just being educated in general. You feel me? So, you know, although I raise money for scholarships, I'm still trying to push to the community, like, just stay educated and informed. You feel
me?
But as far as like entrepreneurship, that's really the freedom and like the real freedom that you have in this world, where you can do stuff without needing anybody. You don't need, you know, you don't need a retirement. Like, you don't need the government to take care of you. You don't need to go to work and clock in for somebody to sustain a stable life. You can do it on your own. Like, that's so important. And like, that's, yeah, that's one way I feel like of getting that freedom in life, of, you know, that the oppression and the roadblocks that's out there, like the strategic oppression out there, systematic oppression, there it is, that kind of makes things hard for you in life, where it's like, when you take everything into your own hands and you independent with whatever you're doing in your life, like,
It's one person that's coming up in my mind just hearing you talking, that's Nipsey. And the reason being is because every single thing that you're talking about, he actually lived. And I think that's what set him apart from anybody else. Like, I ain't even just gonna put him in the category of rapper, because he was so much more than that. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's a lot of people that's on a certain level that talk about that, but they ain't really living it. And Nipsey actually lived it. I see that you're highly inspired by him as a person, obviously him as an artist and a creative, him as a leader, as an overall leader. What's his impact been like for you while he was living? And then what has it been like for you since he's been gone?
Well, I think it's interesting, like, that, okay, like, so on Instagram, or just in general, I don't really like to follow celebrities. Like, I've never cared to follow celebrities or anything. The closest it got for me is just The Shade Room. I just follow The Shade Room, right? And I used to have these conversations with, like, mentors and elders that would tell me, like, you know, who do you look up to? Like, who are you, like, whose blueprint do you follow, like, you know, to kind of guide you through your process? And I was like, dang, I don't really be looking up nobody like that. Like, I never had nobody off the top of my head. But and I knew of Nipsey for a while, but as I was getting into that transition of trying to find like some kind of guidance from somebody who I could look up to that's out there, he came to mind, and I was just like watching like certain interviews and videos and just learning about him and how he was bigger than music, like the things that he was doing was bigger than rap, like, you know, right. And a lot of things that he would talk about in his interview, you know, from the way you should move, from like, you know, the way you should think, it was more so like his impact was like confirmation for me.
Absolutely.
Because it's like I learned from him, but also a lot of things that he spoke on, I had those same thoughts, like that was my perspective on a lot of things, like with my plans, with my platform of being a public figure and how I wanted to use my influence, and the plans that I had, the things that I wanted to do before seeing these interviews, it was always like, so I am like, I'm on the right track. Like, yep, I feel you. Yep, like, so yep. I'm doing something right. Like,
you're talking
so,
your language.
Yeah. Like, you know, it was like, and I related to it. And then, yeah, at the same time, he was such a real person, like really like had morals and really like lived by a code and was not afraid to be real. Like, yeah, you know, didn't do no sucker shit.
He did
like
it his way.
Yeah. Like, you know, did it his way, and he gonna call you out on your BS, you know, and in a way to where you gotta respect it.
Right.
Like, you know, you can't be mad at it. Like, this man is just real. Like, and so I just love that too. And it was just like, yeah, it was a lot of things that he kind of did for me, like, even to just look at what kind of man do I want to deal with. Like, not deal with, but, like, you know, what kind of man would I want to date?
Facts.
Or, you know, like, have a partner.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, be a partner with, and things like that. But, yeah, so his impact was definitely inspirational. I learned some new things from him, though. I did learn some new things, but a lot of the things were confirmation, and it always felt good. And I was just, like, it was crazy because I was, like, I'm going to meet him.
Right.
Like, it was, like, so made up
did
in
you?
My
did
mind.
You meet him?
So.
Talk about it.
Okay, so first of all, in planning this campaign, my first year campaign or whatever, I kept meeting like a whole bunch of people that was connected to him that was just like, oh yeah, oh you, oh,
I saw
easy.
That,
I
saw that on your page.
Yeah, you know, like, I was always getting that. So it, for me, I was just like, this is confirmation. Like, I'm gonna meet this nigga. Like, I'm gonna meet Nipsey.
It's
like,
inevitable.
We gonna talk. You
facts,
feel me? He
facts.
Gonna know what I'm doing. We gonna work together. Like, that was my goal. I wanted to do some
Come
work
on.
With him.
Yeah.
So, then. I would go up to his store sometimes, but I only called his brother. I would never catch him. And then, like, the most recent time, I forgot what it was at the store, but it was, like, one of his most recent events that he had before the unfortunate event. And I was there. I had my pink key. I had my ghetto hoodie on.
I saw you there. Yep, I saw that.
Okay, so,
that
yeah, so you know what I'm talking
too.
About.
Yep.
Boom. So I was there, and he was there, and I seen him. Like, you know, he, like
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm such a sucker. Like, I just.
You froze up?
Yeah, like, I do not like. I feel like a bugaboo. Like, I don't like walking up.
You don't
want to
bug
to,
no celebrity.
Yeah,
like
yeah, I just feel
I'm
like
the
a
same
burden. So.
Exact way.
You know?
Yep.
And I definitely froze
that
because
part.
I had an opportunity. Like, I'm sure if I would have, like, literally said, like, Nipsey, and, like, and I had my key and everything, if I would have just went for it, I'm pretty sure
he
I could have got
solid.
His
yeah, yeah.
He would have been solid as fuck. And I was like, but. That day, I was just like, because my friends, it was crazy too. Nipsey was literally right there, like right here where I could, you know, say something. And then I had some friends with me that was there, and they know about what
right,
I was trying
right,
to do.
Right.
So apparently they seen me freeze up by him, and they like, what are you doing?
What you
like,
doing?
That's
say
cool.
so.
Like,
yeah,
like, they
yeah,
doing
yeah.
that. And then, like, so it didn't happen. So we talked about it afterwards. They was like, bro, like, that was it. Like, I'm mad. I should have went over there and just got him for you or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, don't even trip. Like, I literally genuinely felt in my heart. I was like, I'm not even tripping. Like, I'm going to meet him. Like, that was a good little warm-up. I was like, it's cool. Like, I'm going to be back. Because I really did have plans.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get connected to him. I'm about to
there
present my campaign, everything.
Love
so
it.
I was like, I'm not tripping. And it was just so weird that when, you know, everything happened, I was like, what the hell? Like, this was something I had so sewn up in my heart and my mind. Like, I was so, like, affirmative on that.
Yeah.
Like, that was referral affirmation to where, like, and that was, like, one of the only things I've ever been so, like, affirmative about.
Right,
like,
right,
it was
right.
weird. Like, I was just so sure. And that for it to not have happened, it was kind of like, what the hell? Like, what is that about? Like,
I
didn't get to say nothing. Like,
nothing.
I didn't get to get nothing. But I was just like, I don't know. I'm going to take it for what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just. Continue the marathon, like,
that
and
part.
We'll just connect on another level, I guess.
It's funny, because I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason, and when things are supposed to align, they're going to align.
I was
right?
just so
you
sure that
me?
That was going to align.
Right,
like,
right,
I
right.
just was so sure that was in my life. Like, he's going to
But I feel like
back.
Y'all still connected, though.
Yeah, that
You know what
too,
I'm saying? Like,
that,
that was still a connection. Like, his energy was contagious and toxic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not toxic, but contagious, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. No,
like,
what
you mean. Like, and so I feel like even just, like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to treat the big homie like he Jesus or nothing, but like you was next to bro. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
you felt his influence.
Yeah.
You saw the impact that he had on lives in person while he was here. Yeah. And I can't say the same, unfortunately. Like, the same night that he passed away, I went to his store the same night. Mm-hmm. All my friends was hitting me up. We went out there. I didn't know how connected I felt to Nipsey until he was gone.
Bro, like, everybody, like, I swear, was like, yo, I would think that my cousin or somebody died. Like, it's weird.
I literally felt, no bullshit, no cap, I felt like my brother just died. Like, yeah, my big brother, my mentor, my, like, damn. And I start thinking back to myself, like, I went to my old Instagram page. I still got the passcode to it. Listening to his songs in 2011, like, his mixtapes and all this stuff, like, posted on my page. Mm. Damn, I've been unintentionally, like, subconsciously following your example without even realizing it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and I'm the same with you, like, I'm so, like, I could have literally, like, seen him. I could have played. Like, I had people around me, and I'm sure you've had people around you that's met him. Yeah. And they're like, yo, Nipsey, like, he always at the store.
A
like,
phone
just
call away.
Right. Like,
thing.
Go pull up on him. You know what I'm saying? But
his sister, I met everybody. Like, I got his sister number, everything. And I was just like, this is going to happen. Like, I don't even need to try. Like,
right.
That was so weird.
Yeah. His impact was heavy. And it's funny because my spirit was uneasy. Mm-hmm, and so I went up to his store twice, right after he passed. Mm-hmm. And I went up there. Matter of fact, I went up there the night that he passed, and then I went up there another night, like, probably a week later, and then I was still, like, feeling uneasy. Like, I just was literally, like, I'm mourning on the inside. I can't even function throughout my day. Like, my mind is scattered. I found out he passed away while I was hosting a show in Long Beach. I was on stage, got a text message, and I just paused, like, what? Like, I don't even believe that. Like, that's not even, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not even possible. You know what I'm saying? And for me, crazy. The first feeling that I felt when I found out that he passed was fear. Mm-hmm. As a young Black influencer in the city of LA, born and raised, I immediately felt fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, this is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
I don't put nothing past this government, and I've never been afraid to talk about it. And for me, like, you have to understand, they are gurus with this shit. Like, they are magicians. Like, they are gurus, and people are so, like, detached from the idea of this government being corrupt. And for me, it's like, right when I found out, I'm like, oh, they took him out. Like,
that's,
that was my first thought.
That's, like, literally me too. I was like, oh, he was assassinated. Fucking great.
I don't give a fuck what face y'all put behind it. I don't care what story you
put
behind it.
Like,
there is no way. The first thought, because the homie hit me up, and I'm like, okay, my mind didn't even go to his gang related. Like,
it didn't even go there.
Nobody from no gang in LA is shooting Nipsey.
I'm like,
period.
How many times has he been up at this store so regular?
Nobody shooting Nipsey from no hood. So I'm like, there's only one other way. And so, like, when all these stories start coming out about the Dr. Sebi documentary and all this stuff, like, I don't put that past it. I'm not saying I believe that per se, but I don't put nothing past the idea of this man being assassinated. You feel what I'm saying?
Not
and like. Now that he's gone, I'm able to see his impact on a whole nother level and to really understand why they would have wanted to take somebody out like that.
Right.
Like, you got the Nation of Islam out here marching with Black folks. You got Crips and Bloods out
marching together. That
you
unity
got, like,
that they do not want.
When I was out there the same night that he passed away, there was no fear in me. Mm-hmm. There was no fear. You had every single hood out there, and it felt like family. Mm-hmm. Like, the love that this man exuded, he received back from people of all walks of life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, like, now that he passed, I felt an obligation to pick up the torch.
Right.
Like,
right.
in my field, in my right. Obviously not doing exactly what he's doing, but doing. Like, man, taking this shit up a notch in terms of just my field and, like, what I'm passionate about and making sure that my marathon continues.
Period.
Did you feel the same way? Could you kind of relate to, like, feeling like, man, I got a lot of work to do and I'm about to take my shit to the next level?
Man, that whole thing was trippy because, first of all, he died on my birthday. So I'm like, me and my mom just went to Universal Studios. I was like, let's go. Like, we're just going to go up there, whatever, for my birthday. So we up there, and then a mentor of mine, who is somebody who knew about everything too, like how I felt about Nipsey, my plans with that, like my campaign. He was like, Nipsey song wasn't, you know, involved in it, everything. So he called me randomly, and he like, tell me it ain't true, Nico. And I'm like, huh, what are you talking about? And he's kind of a jokey type. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why. Like, I literally thought that this was a joke. Like, I thought he was just being funny, even though playing about somebody's life isn't funny. But he was like, tell me it ain't true. Tell me Nipsey didn't get shot. Like, you know, he not shot, whatever. And at the time, he wasn't in LA. He was in, I think, San Diego or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I guess he had called word from, like, you know, when people be connected, you know, with the OGs and all
of that.
So yeah, he called me or whatever. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, so not even thinking no truth in this. Like, I'm just like, well, like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, why are you playing? Like, yeah, I really wasn't even receiving it. I'm like, stop playing. Like, why would you play like that? And he was like, I would not play about nobody's life. Like, I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, I was like, no way, because I definitely didn't see it on Instagram. Right. Like, I was like, I would have for sure seen the timeline going
that
up
part.
About this news.
That part.
You know, whatever, whatever. So he like, yeah, I just heard, you know, he been shot in front of the store, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, what? So then I'm like, okay, this is going to be a situation where he just got shot.
I'm already knowing.
He's going to be good. Like, yeah, he's like, go to the hospital. You feel me? And that's what it was.
Yep.
That's all I really thought it was. And he's like, no, like, he's like fatal. Like, it's like fatal. And I'm like, nah, man. And then so we got off the phone. I'm on Instagram. And I'm like, just refreshing my story, waiting, like, okay.
Yeah. Where is that?
I know I'm gonna see something.
Right.
Then I start seeing the reports. Oh, and I'm like, shit. So I'm still having that same thought, like, okay, he just shot, he gonna be okay.
Right.
You know, even though my mentor, he telling me, like, cause he talking to people on the inside, that's like, he's pretty much gone. Like, he's not. And I'm just like, I don't believe it until they report it. I don't care. Like,
facts.
Then they report it. And I'm like, yo, like, what the hell? Like in the day before, I had just had my little fundraiser event where I had I don't want to say I premiered the video, but it's like I premiered the whole little campaign visual that I created. Mm-hmm. I premiered it at the event. And then it was like that week for my campaign schedule, it was set up to drop, like to premiere the videos on Instagram. That's what it was, to premiere the videos on social media. And then when I was going to do that, I was going to have people like tag Nipsey. I was going to be like, you know, hitting him up and like just setting up things to try and connect or whatever. So I was just like, this is so strange. Like, you die on my birthday. Like, I've been working like a year and some on something that I plan to present to you.
Right.
And I'm an anxious person. Like, I'm the type that I like to just do stuff without really like taking my time with it, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, as far
Once
as that situation,
you have an idea, you ready.
Yeah, I was surprised at myself that I didn't come to him sooner or try to like connect with him sooner on it to just, you know, put the word in his ear or nothing. But I was just like, with that situation, I was like, no, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to cross my T's, dot my I's, you know, get it ready and lay it out. You feel me? I'm going to come to him complete.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was so weird that I really did take my time. And it was like, fuck, I missed my chance kind of thing.
Right.
And like, so when you said like, you know, you're still connected with him, I did kind of find some kind of sense of connection. But a half of me was kind of like weird about it because I was just like, I never met him. Like, I don't have no, like, I've never had no real exchange with him. So it's like, I kind of couldn't accept that. I was like, is this a connection? Like, what does this mean? Like, you know? And then it's like I said, he was the only entertainer or celebrity that I honestly like genuinely looked up to and was like was down to follow his lead. And so it was like just certain things that kind of stood out to me, like what is so special about this this connection, like, you know, like, what is it that has us together? Even his plans and what he's doing, like, that's what I had, like, that's what I'm trying to get to, like, what he was doing from property, from what he was like educating the community about, and how he was bringing people that's not supposed to be together, like, all of the things that he did. It was like, that's what I was working towards. So for him to die on my birthday, and then like the day after or something like that, I was just listening to his song. I actually cried about this, first of all. I don't really be crying like that over nobody I don't know that passed away. I'll be sad, but I would never cry.
Yeah.
I literally just could not control it, and I just started crying. And then so I was listening to a song. I had his album playing on my iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, so the album was playing on my way home. I turn off the car. You know when you don't touch your iTunes, it just go on, it go off, and then when you come back, it just starts where it left off, like it continues where it left off.
Right.
So I go in the house real quick, come back out, get in the car, turn it on, and then the music comes back on. But instead of Nipsey's music coming back on, this gospel song called Victory.
Did you post this?
I did.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I feel like I've seen this around that time. I saw it on your page. You sure did.
And I was like,
that's deep.
I was like, wait a minute,
that's
like
deep.
What the heck?
That's
and
deep.
I really kind of took something from it. I'm like, I was like, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm gonna take this.
Yeah,
even though we didn't get no in-person contact, and that happened to me multiple times. I think like twice, where it was a situation where I'll be listening to something else, and then all of a sudden, like,
it'll just change.
Yeah, that song would come on, like, and it was just weird. So I was just like, I'm taking that as Nipsey just confirming with me, like, I got the victory. Like, I got this. What I've started and what I've been already working on, like, this work that I've been already, you know, having in my plans, like, he just let me know, like, continue. You got the victory, like, already. So go for what you know, like, you know, type of thing. That's what I took it as. And yeah, so, like, that whole connection with him, it was just weird. Like, I'm like, okay, there has to be something deeper. I don't know exactly really what it is, though, but I'm just like, I agree. Like, I'm like, I'm connected to this.
That's real.
This energy.
That's like, real. That's
this
real.
This purpose.
I think we can all, the whole city, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole city of LA, I feel like it's undeniable. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? One of the biggest things that I took away from Nipsey was his idea on black economics and how we need to learn how to allow our money to flow within our own communities. You know what I'm saying? So that we can build wealth and we can build property and we can build investments with amongst ourselves. That way we can, you know what I'm saying? He talked a lot about that's how the Jews do it. That's how the, you know what I'm saying?
That's like, how the Chinese,
Chinese do it. They keep their money in-house and they build from in-house. You know what I'm saying? Like, and for me, I find myself oftentimes frustrated with my own community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel like we have an every man for himself type of personality, type of mentality. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? And it's like, I hate that. You know what I'm saying? Like, where does that come from, you feel?
I mean, it comes from the oppression of years and years.
Slavery?
It's like, yeah, like from that far, because it's like you have this population put in a circumstance to where it's like it's survival of the fittest.
Right.
You feel me? Like, you know, and it's not a circumstance where it's a survival of the fittest, but then it continued on to still remain oppressed, even though, you know, they covered up like, oh, you're free now, you know, you can sit in the front of the bus now, like, yeah, that's great or whatever. But at the same time, we still have these systematic injustices that make life so hard to accomplish anything. So then you, as a human, like those human natural feelings or emotions that you get from somebody that you see that's in the same boat as you, but thriving, like getting far without you want that. But it's like, unfortunately, we've been, like, you know, separated, like, programmed and conditioned so much, like, that it's like it's hard for people to even tap into that thought of, like, be happy for this person, like, looking at, like, having that perspective of seeing, like, this person is winning, that means I won, like, nobody really feel like, oh, they're gonna leave me behind, like, you
we
know,
look at each other as competition,
yeah, like, exactly, as competition, and then it's like, so it's this pattern that has continued, you know, and they keep that separation, you know, on us, and it's like they did such a good damn job that even to this day, like, we're still the only cultures that can't come together, like, for some reason. And it's possible.
Right, absolutely.
We can do this, but it's like, it's really hard. Like, you know? And so, I just think that it comes from years and years of segregation and systematic oppression, and just, you know, all of the things that they've been doing to us, you know, directly and indirectly we don't even know. And like, cause the mind is powerful. That's
absolutely
another thing too. They know how to trick your mind. Like psychology is a real thing.
That's facts.
The things that you can do to basically change a person's behavior or perspective of how to look at things, you know, like media, like, you know, the things that they put around us so much that we get become so conditioned to and used to and think that it's normal or that's how it's supposed to be. So it's like we adapt to that and that we're adapting to, they're having us adapt to the wrong things in life. And even like, you know, like even like school, though we all like white ages, everybody, we all go to school, we get the same education that the government controls. But it's like,
you know,
that doesn't really help much either because you're setting us up to be worker bees, to
come
still
on.
Be slaves, you know, and working for somebody and like being stuck in this. That's still like oppression. Like, you know, you're not free. And that's why it's like when you learn about like money and financial literacy and things like that, which they don't want you to know. That's why it's not in the school system. Not even real history either. They don't want you to know who you really are.
And it could be.
And it could be. They choose not to because so that we can be at this position now where we're crabs in a bucket, crabs in a barrel.
Yep.
And that's why, like, another thing with my campaign and my whole movement, which is going to be continuing, like, it's not a one-time thing. This is annually moving forward.
Love it.
But it's like pushing that onto whoever I could come across in the community, in the inner city community, to practice unity. So that's why every time people be like, oh, you fundraised $5,000, you gave away scholarships, I always say we fundraised money and we gave out scholarships. Like, you know, like I have to put that out there so they can understand what it's really about. This is not about it's Nico. Not about you. You feel me?
We like, did that.
Like
we,
this is about bringing us together and putting us in practicing that economic group, black economic power. You feel me? Like, and just trying to promote more people to do things like put their power where it belongs versus fucking Popeyes and bullshit. Like, and you know, like, how do y'all not get it already that you are still funding the damn, the very people that are keeping you in this oppressed position? Like, what are you not getting? Like, put it back into you, like into us. Like, I don't understand what's so hard about that. Like,
we're it's funny. My boy was talking to me about that when this whole Popeye shit first started, and he DM'd me and he's like, bro, you need to make a video on just kind of the state of our people. And I told him, man, our people are sick. And I say that with like, I say that hurtfully. Mm-hmm. Like, that hurts me to say that. Mm-hmm. Our people are mentally sick because like you just said, it's so obvious what they're doing.
It's so
obvious what they're doing. Even these big companies like Gucci and Fendi, when they come out with these racist ass blackface, that was a strategic move. Like we are consumers off of emotion. So whether it's positive emotion, whether it's negative emotion, their job is to get our attention. Once you have our attention, you're going to reel us in like fucking mice with cheese. You know what I'm saying?
And you know that they thrive off of us because we're in that position where it's like we desire that status so bad.
We want to look cool. We want to look like we got it going on.
We're
going
to spend that money. Yeah. We're going to get that shiny shit that's not even of benefit. It's just a look at the end of the day. Like, it's disposable. It does not do anything for your children nobody that's coming after you. It doesn't do anything besides make your outfit look good for a moment or whatever. Right. Like, you know, and that's why, like, I be frustrated with our people, but I also can't really blame them. Because it's so deeply rooted in us. These people did a good ass job.
I think about that all the time. They did a masterful job.
I was like, you guys are geniuses what the hell? Like, we are still struggling from years and years and years. Like, we still can't get it right yet. But at the same time, I don't put myself in a position to think or to like give up hope or, you know, like think like we can't change. We can't.
It's not an option.
Exactly. And it's like, I take that accountability that as long as I'm here and I have some kind of influence, I know I don't have like a million followers and the whole world don't know me. That does not matter at all because you matter. Facts. You feel me? You know what I'm doing. Facts. And you take away something from it. That's good enough for me.
You inspire me and we've never met. So that's your influence right there. Like, you have the power to literally, and we live in an era right now to where people are not getting it. If you're not being able to do something productive with this platform, with the social media platform right now, I firmly don't believe that this shit is going to be around for the next 5 years. I think that they're going to find a way to, just like they do everything else historically, they're going to find a way to put money behind this shit. So what happens when they start charging your ass to have an Instagram account $10.99 a month? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you understand how many people are going to leave? Like, do you understand, like, what happens once they start to actually monitor the content that you could put on your page? I feel like that's coming too. Like, eventually they're going to be like, okay, enough is enough. Like, there's millions of Nipseys. Like, how are we going to get rid of them? Oh, we actually are in charge of what they're able to post. You've ever got a fucking post deleted and you're like, why did that get deleted? Like, you know what I'm saying? I've had that multiple times to me. Like, shit, that has nothing to do with nothing. I wasn't even talking about nothing. But the idea of them being able to literally
control,
be like, you can't post this because we said so. It's against our rules. It's against our guidelines and principles. Exactly. And so I feel like black ownership is important, too. I don't feel like we talk enough about real ownership. I don't mean owning a house. I mean owning the fucking land that the house is on. And I feel like the narrative needs to change around ownership, around success. I'm super, super, super passionate about changing the perspective of what success is. For me, going through my journey now for 3.5 years of intentionally being an influencer, I realized, Nico, I don't want to do shit unless it's making me happy. Literally.
Come on now.
Like, the idea of success is attached to happiness. And if it's not making me happy, I am not successful. I don't give a fuck how much money you got. I don't care how big your house is. Like, I don't care about that. Like, if my spirit is not full, if I am not at inner peace, if I'm walking around and I'm constantly like worrying about shit, if I'm stressed out constantly, I'm not successful. No matter what I do, no matter how I try to portray, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got it going on. So for me, I'm on a mission right now. People ask me, what is your ultimate mission? my ultimate mission is to change the perspective and narrative on what success is. And I'm going to do that with different platforms. This one included event production, being a speaker, being a poet, being an educator. And just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One thing that I want to touch on before we leave is kind of like is what you mentioned earlier in regards to the schooling, how they program us from an early age. I work at a middle school, right? And I work intentionally in inner cities, right? What I mean by that is, the company that I work for, they have schools all throughout Los Angeles, California. They asked me, what schools do you want to work at? We got Culver City, we got Inglewood, we got Watts, we got, put me at the worst schools you possibly fucking have. I want to be at the schools nobody want to work at. Why? Because those are where our young black and brown men and young, I'm sorry, boys and girls need my influence the most, need the Nico's influence the most. To be able, people don't understand this. I'm a huge advocate for mental health as well. When you born and raised in the hood, I can relate to this so much. When you born and raised in the hood and you're in elementary school and you're in middle school and your dad is on crack, your mom is in jail, your brother is gang banging, you got chaos constantly in your neighborhood, chaos constantly in your household. You have to go to school at 7-8 o'clock in the morning with holding that energy. Then you're not able to focus in class. And then you get stigmas like you have ADD and you're not able to sit still. You're disruptive. Right. You're a class clown. Right. All these different things that they put on you. And it's like, no, how about you just check in with me and see how I fucking slept last night?
How about
like,
that?
You know what I'm saying? Like
did I eat this morning?
Like, I remember growing up, I just speak my truth. And again, I've learned to not be afraid to speak
your
my
truth. Yeah,
for me,
we need
I grew
it.
Up in a household where my mom was an extremely hard worker. I've never met a hard worker. I've never met a worker on my mom's level. This woman is unmatched when it comes to her work. My dad is also equally a hard worker. But my dad growing up was addicted to crack cocaine in the household. My dad and mom would literally argue faithfully at least 3 to 4 times out of the week. Okay, I'm not talking about white folk argument. I'm talking... like the fucking house is shaking.
That's how
I felt growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt like two titans going at it with each other. And they would keep me up literally. Like, I remember nights to where my mom would load us all up in a car and we literally driving throughout LA looking for my dad in the streets. Literally, like, and I'm in elementary school. I'm in third grade. I'm in fourth grade. I'm in a truck with my brother and my sisters and my mom at 3 o'clock in the morning, literally looking for my dad. And on some nights we would see him like just straggling on the streets or hanging with prostitutes or, you know, like out there deep in it. And okay, I've been up since 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I got to go to school in the morning. And I remember feeling at school like, damn, like I like not even really knowing what to do with how I felt. That's where my writing started.
I start
writing poetry by journaling. So I would just journal out how I felt, because we don't live in households to where we're encouraged to speak about how we feel. We don't grow up in households to where we're encouraged to talk
questions
about our problems. We don't grow up in households to where we come home from school and your mommy asks, how was your day? Like, that was not in my household. My mom was a great mother.
She was working,
but she was working and she had so many other obligations. Like, you trying to manage the household. You got 3 jobs you holding down. I don't have time to sit with you and do homework like I would want to.
Right.
I got to do dinner for 5 kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Got to find your dad.
Got to
find
your pops. I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, for me, I'm huge on providing platforms for us to where we can literally just do this, to where we can just talk about a multitude of different topics. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just release. This is therapy. People don't realize that. Talking is a form of therapy. And so I'm huge on, like, yo, if you feel something, let's just talk about it. And that goes for all ends of the spectrum. That's huge in relationships. Me and my queen, we talk about it all the time. You know what I'm saying? If we got an issue, let's bring it to the table.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Before it turned into this and this and this and then, you know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Exactly.
So I'm huge on that. I was going to mention about the schools.
Yeah.
So I work at a school in Watts right now. It's a charter school called Resolute Academy.
Okay.
In Watts. I'm talking right next to the projects. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally right next door to the projects in Watts. I work in the Nickerson Gardens.
Okay.
And so my first day working at this school was this Monday, this past Monday. And the first thing, I don't know, I've been in there looking like, I don't know if my, like, am I the only one seeing this? Like, I'm like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, this shit, like, you guys are not seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Like, literally at the end of the school, at the end of the school day, the bell rang. All the students are coming outside. Every single, and it's two layers of classrooms, right? Okay. So you have classrooms on the first floor, classrooms on the second floor. Yeah. The bell rings and every single student comes out in a single file line. Again, that just fucked me up. Mm. Like, and they're all uniformed. And then all you hear is teachers yelling at them, telling them to stay in line. That looks like fucking jail to me.
Seems like
that literally looks like prison.
Yeah.
So you're programming these kids, and I start thinking on a deeper level. Oh, you're not just programming them to take orders of authoritative figures in society, but you're also teaching them not to be different. They're all uniformed. We grow up. You train them from elementary school, middle school, and high school to all look the same, act the same, talk the same, walk the same. Mm. And so once somebody comes with pink hair, it's like, oh, she's weird. Mm-hmm. Or once he comes with some green shoelaces in his shoes, mm-hmm. because he don't want to wear the regular uniform no more. Oh, he's weird, or he's right. stupid, or he's right. All these right. stigmas come around, like kind of like, what's your view on this idea? And I know you're huge on education. So am I. I love the fact that you also said education. Let's make this very clear. Mm-hmm. Education is broad.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like the top influencers on the planet are self-educated. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just facts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? All the way down to your Oprah Winfrey's, to your Steve Jobs's, to your Gary V's, to your Nipsey Hussle's, right? You know what I'm saying? Like self-educated, right? Yep. Dr. Sebi, a lot of people questioned his credentials because he never went to school to be a doctor, but he was a herbalist, right? And all this stuff. So mm-hmm. like, what's your view on this idea of us being groomed at such a young age to all look the same, act the same? Do you think that has an effect on kind of like mm-hmm. today's time, and you being 25 and just seeing how we move now? Mm-hmm. We're so quick to point the finger at people mm-hmm. once they talk different or doing different. I'm pretty sure your mm-hmm. family, I'm sure all of your family are not with what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom told me I would never make money doing poetry. Mm-hmm. And that's, I don't blame her for being sick in that light.
Yeah.
I just like, okay, that's how you were raised.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame you and call you crazy, but what's your view on that? You know what I'm saying? Just in regards to just being authentic, I guess. Let me ask that. What's your view on authenticity? And then we'll probably end it there.
I mean, authenticity is important. Like, you know, I think that a lot of times, like, these structures get so caught up on trying to discipline and like focus on ways to, like, you know, to keep order, to where it's like you kind of create more problems that, like, that stem from that you don't mm-hmm. even realize. So it's mm-hmm. like you're not helping anything with that. What helps is communication, like allowing a space for people to be able to speak and share their different ideas, and putting them in a space to be able to, like, accept when someone doesn't agree with you, like, you know, or even just with dealing with something that someone has done that may have been bad. It's like, don't criminalize me. Don't, you know, put me away or whatever the case, like jail. Like, that's not the answer Facts. To nothing. Like Facts. you need rehabilitation. Like go. that's what you need. Rehabilitate these people, because
locking me in a cage for 23 hours a day,
that's not going to do.
It's going to literally
make me
worse.
What the hell is that
going to
help?
Yeah.
And it's only, you know, some people, like, not everybody comes, because there's people that come out of those situations better, where they are able to discipline themselves or just kind of open their minds to figuring out a way to cope with it in a healthy way. Right. But not everybody can cope with something like that in a healthy way. Like, you know, they don't have those same influences or, you know, same experiences to be able to do something like that. Right. So it's like, you know, you still have those people out there traumatized, like, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with traumas that they can't let go. And then it's like, you're naturally going to react certain ways from that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's not healthy. Like, you're not going to act or behave in Facts. A healthy way Facts. From something like that. But yeah, I think authenticity is definitely something that can keep the culture moving forward. Mm-hmm.
Just being yourself.
Yeah. Like, you know, it keeps things growing, mm-hmm. like, you know, and it continues to bring new information, like, you know, mm-hmm. new experiences, like, because we don't need the same thing repeated and repeated. Like, Facts. You know, we need to grow. Like, we need to, everybody, like, you know, that's what life is about, growing and elevating and just, mm-hmm. you know, expanding. Like, you don't stay in the box. Like, you know,
like,
you never want to.
You sound like Stevie Hart's right now.
Stevie Hart.
That's my guy, man. Shout out Stevie Hart. Yeah, he was on the show yesterday talking about that.
Yeah.
How, like, we're literally meant to grow and change and evolve.
Yeah, like, and growing up too, like, even with myself, like, I remember I would be that type of person that would do things that were different, and like, and I would get clowned or whatever. Like, I remember, this is small, but I remember, like, okay, my cousin had these yarn boots, like, okay. crochet boots, yep. whatever, and they were like Rastafari, like red, yellow, and green, and I thought them things was tight.
Come
like
on,
I used to always like certain things that was just different, that right. was not everybody was wearing. So I remember I had took them and I put them on so proudly and wore them to school, had my little outfit,
got
and people
clowned.
Was on my shoes, like, what the hell are those,
right?
Did not like my shoes. And then Uggs come out with the crochet boots. Goddamn. And so now everybody is loving the crochet boots. I'm like, wow. So y'all used to clown me. Yep. And then now y'all rocking, like, you know, like, and I used to appreciate that about myself for being so fearless and, you know, doing what it is that makes me happy and not caring if somebody else is going to like it or not. Like, I was always that friend when a friend questioned me, like, should I wear this? Like, do this? I'd be like, do you like it?
Right.
Then that's it. Right. Like, who gives a damn? Right. Like, you know, because at the same time, if you're wearing something that other people like, it is possible that you can still feel, you know, like, not confident, like, because it's like, they may like it, but you don't like it because you're not comfortable. Like, you feel like your boobs or something, like, it's not sitting right. So it's like, the fact that you're just going off of other people's acceptance on something is never the way. Like, that's always the wrong thing to do. Like, and even with chasing your passion and things like that, like, I understand it's necessary sometimes to study your audience and study what's working. Yep. But at the same time, I feel like if it starts to steer into, like, your direction of where you're trying to go with it, then that, like, when it starts to affect your decision making in a sense to where you're not sticking to what it is that you truly are passionate about, then you're losing right there.
You're losing yourself in a trend that's here today and probably
going tomorrow. Yep. And it's like, and sometimes you just have to be ready to make, like, to put it on people to, like, make them love it. Like, you know, like, you may not like it now, but I'm gonna stay consistent to this, and you gonna like it because people's emotions
and if you don't, guess what? I'm still gonna be doing it.
And I'm still gonna do it. There's so many people out here in the world. Like, you're not the only person you're not the only acceptance I need. Like, there's gonna be somebody that's gonna like it. Period. And then it's like, you know, dang, I'm kind of going blank a little bit, but authenticity is definitely really important. Like, you got to just be an individual, and I feel like authenticity ties into self-happiness. Of like, course. You know, like, when you're yourself, you know, your authentic self is when you're going to be the most happiest.
When you love who you are,
it's right.
very easy to be you. You know what I'm saying? And I had to grow to that. It took me 3.5 years to truly sit and to say, I am absolutely in love with who I see in the mirror, and it has nothing to do with physicality. Well, you know what I'm saying? A little bit. You know what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is, I'm in love with the work that I've been willing to put in.
Yeah.
The sacrifices that I've been willing to make. Right. The perspective that I have on life. Like, the way my mind works, I literally walk towards shit that I'm scared of. Like, that's what I mean. And I didn't have that 3 years ago. That's what I mean when it's like, so it's easy for me to be authentic. It's easy for me to be myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because I'm holding an interview don't mean I got to go put a suit on and a fucking necktie. Like, man. This is how I dress. This is me. Man. You know what I'm saying? This is how I talk. I'm not trying to, and I'm still a speaker.
Man.
And I still consider myself a badass speaker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, you
feel
what I'm saying?
But I'm going to speak how I speak. Exactly. And like I was telling my queen yesterday, I'm able to, I love the fact that I'm able to hold my own in front of anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to speak articulate, we could do that. If you want to speak hood, we could do that. Because that's the roots. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's LA in me.
Versatility.
You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you for being here. Before you leave, though, I just want you to just make very clear what you want people to know about you and your initiative and every single thing that you're doing.
I just want people to know that, like, I'm for the people. I'm not perfect and I'm not an expert at this. I'm literally just trusting the process, and whatever feelings I get or whatever thoughts I have, I just go for it. Like, you know, so, I feel like, you know, people, I just want them to understand, like, you're watching me in the process. Like, I don't have it figured out. Like, you know, I don't think any of us have it figured out. Nobody honestly does. But, you know, I'm just going into it confident and just sticking to, like, you know, that direction or that passion that's firing me. Like, why I'm sticking to my why. And for me, it's always about the bigger picture. It's not about Nico. Like, it's never about Nico. It's the bigger picture and how I can help as many people as I can, you know. And with education is key, as I mentioned already. Pull this up right here.
Yep, we're gonna make sure we tag your Instagram on this too. We're gonna put that edit in there.
But yeah, like, you know, education is key. I am fundraising money for scholarships for inner city students of Los Angeles. So that's, you know, that's my target right there. And this is something that, as I said before, I will be doing it annually. So I started 2019 and I'm gonna keep on going. So donations, you can keep on giving it to me. Like, don't ask me if it's too late. It's never too late.
How can they donate?
You can donate by going to my website. The link is on my Instagram at at Your Girl Nico. The website is www.yourgirlnico.com. You know, it's on the homepage. You scroll all the way down to the bottom. That's when you could click the donate button. You could donate through PayPal. It also has my other platforms that you can use, Cash App, Venmo, Zelle. I take cash in person.
All that.
Whatever. Like, you know, I'm going to get it by any means.
Money
I
order,
take coins.
What you need. Yep, you all feel, that.
I take it all. Yep. I take checks.
Love it.
But yeah, so and with the campaign and with that tagline, education is key. It's bigger than just school. I understand school is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody learns differently, just as long as you're learning.
But school is for some people.
So it's, yeah, exactly. Facts. And that's why we're going to keep on giving out these scholarships, because we still have, like, this is not impossible. I don't want these inner city students that have so much that's on their back to dismiss the opportunity of, you know, going for a higher education because they think, oh, they can't afford it. They're not smart enough. You know, they're not capable. Right. None of that. It's so many first generation college graduates, so many inner city students that have gotten through and have excelled and are doing so much bigger things. Like, it is possible. And I'm a example myself. Like, I can contest to that. Like, you know, I've done it. I made it. It's possible. All it is it's a grind. It's not about you being Albert Einstein. It's about you showing up for yourself every day.
Love it.
Like, majority of the time, like, to pass a class, you just have to be there.
That's right.
You just have to be there. Do the assignments.
Facts.
You feel me?
That's facts.
Go to the study. Like, take advantage of the resources that are there. Like, you have to be accountable. That's another thing too.
Accountability
is key. Like, don't be pointing the fingers or blaming. Like, I understand you come from a certain past that may have a certain effect on you, but you can't let that crutch you all your life. Like, you know, you got to use that. Like, use that to motivate you, because there's somebody with your situation that's winning.
Right.
And you crying with it. Like, absolutely. You know, like, you can do it. Like, you know, there are no excuses. It's possible. All you got to do, like,
love
I said,
it.
Show up for yourself, you know?
Love
don't forget, I also have the ghetto
love
t-shirts,
plug
the
that.
Ghetto
plug
merch.
It up.
And, you know, what I'm doing is I'm selling it.
Yeah.
You can buy it. But when you're spending your money with me, the difference is I'm not robbing you of your money, people. I'm putting it back into the community
that
because
part.
100% goes right into the scholarship fund.
I love
so
it.
That's just another way of me promoting that idea of spend your money with Black businesses and use your economic power for your people.
Love
so
it.
I'm just trying to exercise with everything that I have going on, just tackling those different things
all
that
angles.
I want to get at. Yeah, you know? So GHETTO, it's an acronym. My grandmother, who passed away from breast cancer some years ago, this was something that she, a term that she coined. She created the acronym, Guys and Girls Have Enough Talent to Overcome.
Love
she
it.
Was an entertainer, producer, actress, activist, so much more. So it's kind of like I'm taking her, what she started and what
keeping
she left behind,
alive.
And I'm keeping it alive through my legacy,
love
through
it.
My platform. And yeah, so GHETTO, education is key. Your girl Nico,
I'm out here.
You know, I stay out here. Like I want to be well respected and well connected. So I'm not just doing it from behind the screen.
Facts.
I'm actually present too. You
you're
know,
out here.
And just
and
trying
I'll
to,
see you.
You know, yeah, just trying to set that example, encourage people, and show them like, if I could do it, this is what it looks like. You're gonna see me fail. You're gonna see me run into some walls, but you're gonna also see me continue and thrive, and to show you like, you can do it too.
That part.
I don't know nothing about some of the stuff that I'm doing. I'm just doing it, trusting the process and applying myself, one foot in front of the other, learning as I go and making it happen. Like, there's
love
no
it.
Excuse.
I love it.
You know, we all got this.
So look, this is what we're going to do. We want to end every segment, of the Unselfish Behavior podcast with you looking at this camera right here and letting the world know a quick and brief message that you want to leave with them. It could be to anybody you want. Just what's your message? What's your message you want to leave off with? What is your unselfish message?
Dang, I feel like I dropped a couple unselfish messages in that little speech I just gave.
Just so
I'm like trying to think of something else.
What you got? Talk to the young girls that's looking at you. Little girls looking at you. They're drawing inspiration from you. Just tell them something brief. Take them out.
Okay, ladies. What I will say is don't focus on finding your value and your abilities in anyone else, especially not a man. Especially if you're young, please do not get caught up in thinking that you need to build with somebody right now. You need a relationship. Like, focus on finding yourself. Take the time for trial and error at this moment. Fail as many times you can, fall on your face, and accept it and learn from it, because you don't have no kids. You ain't married. You can do that now. So just take advantage of the time and find yourself. Find what makes you happy, what fills you up, and learn to just be able to be alone with yourself. Because at the end of the day, you come into this world by yourself, you leave by yourself. So if somebody ever leaves from you, they'll never always going to every situation 100%, not 50-50, because if that person leave, that shouldn't affect you or bring you down. You should still be standing strong when somebody walk out of your life. So, yeah, just find ways to become whole. And, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. Ladies, I love you. Got this. It's your girl.
I love it. Nico, it was an honor. It was an honor to have Appreciate you on. Y'all. Episode 2, Unselfish Behavior, baby.
I was supposed to be episode 1, but, you know, schedules conflict. So, technically, you know I'm number one, Stevie. Sorry. That part. You kind of low-key, too, but whatever.
And we out.
Yeah, kid cute.